The Pendant Shakespeare presents Chapter 4 of Henry VI, Part 2.
I'm used my Lord of Gloucester is not come. 'Tis not his wont to be the hindmost man, whatever occasion keeps him from us now.
Can you not see? Or will ye not observe the strangeness of his altered countenance? With what a majesty he bears himself. How insolent of late he has become. How proud, how peremptory and unlike himself. We know the time since he was mild and affable, and if we did but glance a far-off look, immediately he was upon his knee, that all the court admired him for submission. But meet him now, and be it in the morn when everyone will give the time of day, he knits his brow and shows an angry eye, and passeth by with stiff, unbowed knee, disdaining duty that to us belongs. Small curs are not regarded when they grin, but great men tremble when the lion roars. And Humphrey is no little man in England. First, note that he is near you in descent, and should you fall, he as the next will mount. Meseemeth then it is no policy, respecting what a rancorous mind he bears and his advantage following your decease, that he should come about your royal person or be admitted to your highness's council. By flattery hath he won the commons' hearts, and when he please to make commotion, 'tis to be feared they all will follow him. Now, 'tis the spring, and weeds are shallow-rooted. Suffer them now, and they'll o'ergrow the garden and choke the herbs for want of husbandry. The reverent care I bear unto my lord made me collect these dangers in the duke. If it be fond, call it a woman's fear. Which fear, if better reasons can supplant, I will subscribe and say I wronged the duke. My lord of Suffolk, Buckingham, and York, reprove my allegation if you can, or else conclude my words effectual.
Well, hath your highness seen into this duke? And had I first been put to speak my mind, I think I should have told your grace's tale. The duchess, by his subornation, upon my life, began her devilish practices. Or, if he were not privy to those faults, yet by reputing of his high descent, as next the king he was successive heir, and such high vaunts of his nobility, did instigate the bedlam, brain-sick duchess, by wicked means, to frame our sovereign's fall. Smooth runs the water where the brook is deep, and in his simple show, he harbors treason. The fox barks not when he would steal the lamb. No, no, my sovereign, Gloucester is a man unsounded yet and full of deep deceit.
Did he not, contrary to form of law, devise strange deaths for small offenses done?
And did he not, in his protectorship, levy great sums of money through the realm, for soldiers' pay in France, and never sent it, by means whereof the towns each day revolted?
Tut, these are petty faults, to faults unknown, which time will bring to light in smooth Duke Humphrey.
My lords, at once, the care you have of us, to mow down thorns that would annoy our foot, is worthy praise, but shall I speak my conscience? Our kinsman Gloucester is as innocent from meaning treason to our royal person as is the suckling lamb or harmless dove. The Duke is virtuous, mild, and too well given to dream on evil or to work my downfall.
What's more dangerous than this fond affiance? Seems he a dove. His feathers are but borrowed, for he's disposed as the hateful raven. Is he a lamb? His skin is surely lent him, for he's inclined as is the ravenous wolf. Who cannot steal a shape that means deceit? Take heed, my lord. The welfare of us all hangs on the cutting short that fraudful man.
All health unto my gracious sovereign.
Welcome, Lord Somerset. What news from France?
That all your interest in those territories is utterly bereft you. All is lost.
Cold news, Lord Somerset. But God's will be done.
cold news for me. For I had hope of France as firmly as I hope for fertile England. Thus are my blossoms blasted into bud, and caterpillars eat my leaves away. But I will remedy this gear ere long, or sell my title for a glorious grave.
All happiness unto my lord the king. Pardon, my liege, that I have stayed so long.
Nay, Gloucester, know that thou art come too soon, unless thou wert more loyal than thou art. I do arrest thee of high treason here.
Well, Suffolk, thou shalt not see me blush, nor change my countenance for this arrest. A heart unspotted is not easily daunted. The purest spring is not so free from mud as I am clear from treason to my sovereign. Who can accuse me? Wherein am I guilty?
'Tis thought, my lord, that you took bribes of France, and, being protector, state the soldier's pay, by means whereof his highness hath lost France.
Is it but thought so? What are they that think it? I never robbed the soldiers of their pay, nor ever had one penny bribe from France. So help me God, as I have watched the night, aye, night by night, in studying good for England, that doit that ever I wrested from the king, or any groat I hoarded to my use, be brought against me at my trial day. No, many a pound of mine own proper store, because I would not tax the needy commons, have I dispersed to the garrisons, and never asked for restitution.
It serves you well, my lord, to say so much.
I say no more than truth, so help me God.
In your protectorship, you did devise strange tortures for offenders never heard of, that England was defamed by tyranny.
Why, 'tis well known that whilst I was protector, pity was all the fault that was in me, for I should melt at an offender's tears, and lowly words were ransom for their fault, unless it were a bloody murderer, or foul felonious thief that fleeced poor passengers. I never gave them condign punishment. Murder indeed, that bloody sin I tortured above the felon, or what trespass else?
My lord, these faults are easy, quickly answered. But mightier crimes are laid unto your charge, whereof you cannot easily purge yourself. I do arrest you in his highness's name, and here commit you to my lord cardinal to keep, until your further time of trial.
My lord of Gloucester, it is my special hope that you will clear yourself from all suspect. My conscience tells me you are innocent.
Ah, gracious lord, these days are dangerous. Virtue is choked with foul ambition, and charity chased hence by rancor's hand. Foul subornation is predominant, and equity exiled your highness's land. I know their complot is to have my life, and if my death might make this island happy, and prove the period of their tyranny, I would expend it with all willingness. But mine is made the prologue to their play, for thousands more that yet suspect no peril will not conclude their plotted tragedy. Beaufort's red sparkling eyes blab his heart's malice, and Suffolk's cloudy brow his stormy hate. Sharp Buckingham and Burthens with his tongue, the envious load that lies upon his heart, and dogged York that reaches at the moon, whose overweening arm I have plucked back, by false accused doth level at my life. And you, my sovereign lady, with the rest, causeless have laid disgraces on my head, and with your best endeavor have stirred up my liefest liege to be mine enemy. Aye, all you have laid your heads together, myself had notice of your conventicles, and all to make away my guiltless life. I shall not want false witness to condemn me, nor store of treasons to augment my guilt. The ancient proverb will be well effected. A staff is quickly found to beat a dog.
My liege, his railing is intolerable. If those that care to keep your royal person from treason's secret knife and traitor's rage be thus upbraided, chid, and rated at, and the offender granted scope of speech, 'twill make them cool in zeal unto your grace.
Hath he not twit our sovereign lady here with ignominious words, though clerkly couched, as if she had suborned some to swear false allegations to overthrow his state.
But I can give the loser leave to chide.
Far truer spoke than meant. I lose indeed. Beshrew the winners, for they played me false. And well such losers may have leave to speak.
He'll wrest the sense and hold us here all day. Lord Cardinal, he is your prisoner.
Sirs, take away the Duke and guard him sure.
Ah! Thus King Henry throws away his crutch before his legs be firm to bear his body. Thus is the shepherd beaten from thy side, and wolves are gnarling who shall gnaw thee first. Ah, that my fear were false! Ah, that it were! For, good King Henry, thy decay I fear!
My lords, what to your wisdom seemeth best, due or undue, as if ourself were here?
What? Will your highness leave the parliament?
Aye, Margaret. My heart is drowned with grief, whose blood begins to flow within mine eyes, my body round in girt with misery, for what's more miserable than discontent? Ah, Uncle Humphrey, in thy face I see the map of honor, truth, and loyalty, and yet, good Humphrey, is the hour to come that ere I proved thee false or feared thy faith, what lowering star now envies thy estate, that these great lords and Margaret, our queen, do seek subversion of thy harmless life. Thou never didst them wrong, nor no man wrong, and as the butcher takes away the calf and binds the wretch and beats it when it strays, bearing it to the bloody slaughterhouse, even so remorseless have they borne him hence. And as the dam runs lowing up and down, looking the way her harmless young one went, and can do naught but wail her darling's loss, even so myself bewails good Gloucester's case, with sad, unhelpful tears, and with dimmed eyes, look after him and cannot do him good, so mighty are his vowed enemies. His fortunes I will weep, and twixt each groan say, who's a traitor? Gloucester, he is none.
Free lords, cold snow melts with the sun's hot beams. Henry, my lord, is cold in great affairs, too full of foolish pity, and Gloucester's show beguiles him as the mournful crocodile with sorrow snares relenting passengers, or as the snake rolled in a flowering bank with shining checkered slough doth sting a child that for the beauty thinks it excellent. Believe me, lords, were none more wise than I, and yet herein I judge mine own wit good. This Gloucester should be quickly rid the world, to rid us of the fear we have of him.
That he should die is worthy policy, but yet we want a color for his death. 'Tis meet he be condemned by course of law.
But in my mind, that were no policy. The king will labor still to save his life. The commons haply rise to save his life. And yet we have but trivial argument, more than mistrust, that shows him worthy death.
So that, by this, you would not have him die?
York, no man alive so fain as I.
'Tis York that hath more reason for his death. But, my Lord Cardinal, and you, my Lord of Suffolk, say as you think, and speak it from your souls. Weren't not all one? An empty eagle was set to guard the chicken from a hungry kite, as placed Duke Humphrey for the king's protector.
So the poor chicken should be sure of death.
Madam, 'tis true. And weren't not madness then to make the fox surveyor of the fold? Who, being accused a crafty murderer, his guilt should be but idly posted over because his purpose is not executed? No! Let him die in that he is a fox, by nature proved an enemy to the flock, before his chaps be stained with crimson blood, as Humphrey proved by reasons to my liege. And do not stand on quillets how to slay him, be it by gins, by snares, by subtlety, sleeping or waking, tis no matter how, so he be dead. For that is good deceit, which mates him first, that first intends deceit.
Thrice, noble Suffolk, 'tis resolutely spoke.
Not resolute, except so much were done. for things are often spoke and seldom meant. But that my heart accordeth with my tongue, seeing the deed is meritorious, and to preserve my sovereign from his foe. Say but the word, and I will be his priest.
But I would have him dead, my lord of Suffolk, ere you can take due orders for a priest. Say you consent and censure well the deed, and I'll provide his executioner. I tender so the safety of my liege.
Here is my hand. The deed is worthy doing.
And so say I.
And I. And now we three have spoke it. It skills not greatly who impugns our doom.
Great lords! Oh, from Ireland am I come amain, to signify that rebels there are up and put the Englishmen under the sword. Send succors, lords, and stop the rage betime, before the wound do grow incurable, for being green, there is great hope of help.
A breach that craves a quick expedient stop. What counsel give you in this weighty cause?
That Somerset be sent as regent thither. 'Tis meet that lucky ruler be employed. Witness the fortune he hath had in France.
If York, with all his far-fetched policy, had been the regent there instead of me, he never would have stayed in France so long.
No, not to lose it all, as thou hast done. I, rather, would have lost my life betimes than bring a burthen of dishonor home by staying there so long till all were lost. Show me one scar charactered on thy skin. Man's flesh preserved so whole do seldom win.
Nay, then, this spark will prove a raging fire, if wind and fuel be brought to feed it with. No more, good York. Sweet Somerset, be still. Thy fortune, York, hadst thou been regent there, might happily have proved far worse than his.
What? Worse than not? Ha! Nay, then a shame take all.
And in the number thee that wishest shame.
My lord of York, try what your fortune is. The uncivil kerns of Ireland are in arms, and temper clay with blood of Englishmen. To Ireland will you lead a band of men, collected choicely, from each county some, and try your hap against the Irishmen?
I will, my lord. So please, his majesty.
Why, our authority is his consent, and what we do establish he confirms. Then, noble York, take thou this task in hand.
I am content. Provide me soldiers, lords, whilst I take order for mine own affairs.
A charge, Lord York, that I will see performed. But now return we to the false Duke Humphrey.
No more of him, for I will deal with him, that henceforth he shall trouble us no more. And so break off. The day is almost spent, Lord Suffolk. You and I must talk of that event.
My Lord of Suffolk, within 14 days at Bristol I expect my soldiers, for there I'll ship them all for Ireland.
I'll see it truly done, my Lord of York.
Now, York, or never, steel thy fearful thoughts, and change misdoubt to resolution. Be that thou hopest to be, or what thou art, resigned to death. It is not worth the enjoying. Let pale-faced fear keep with the mean-born man, and find no harbour in a royal heart. Faster than springtime showers comes thought on thought, and not a thought but thinks on dignity. My brain, more busy than the labouring spider, weaves tedious snares to trap mine enemies. Well, nobles, well, 'tis politically done. To send me packing with an host of men, I fear me you but warm the starved snake, who cherished in your breasts will sting your hearts. 'Twas men I lacked, and you would give them me. I take it kindly, and yet be well assured you put sharp weapons in a madman's hands. As I in Ireland nourish a mighty band, I will stir up in England some black storm shall blow 10,000 souls to heaven or hell. And this fell tempest shall not cease to rage, until the golden circuit on my head, back to the glorious sun's transparent beams, to calm the fury of this madbred flaw. And for a minister of my intent, I have seduced a headstrong Kentishman, John Cade of Ashford, to make commotion, as full well he can, under the title of John Mortimer. In Ireland have I seen this stubborn Cade oppose himself against a troop of kerns, and fought so long, till that his thighs with darts were almost like a sharp-quilled porpentine, and in the end being rescued, I have seen him caper upright like a wild Morisco, shaking the bloody darts as he is bells. Full often, like a shag-haired crafty kern, hath he conversed with the enemy, and undiscovered come to me again, and given me notice of their villainies. This devil here shall be my substitute for that John Mortimer, which is now dead, in face, in gait, in speech he doth resemble. By this I shall perceive the common's mind, how they affect the house and claim of York. Say he be taken, racked, and tortured. I know no pain they can inflict upon him will make him say I moved him to those arms. Say that he thrive, as 'tis great like he will. Why, then from Ireland come I with my strength, and reap the harvest which that rascal sowed. For Humphrey being dead, as he shall be, and Henry put apart the next for me.
The Pendant Shakespeare, also known as the Wild Bill Variety Show, presents Chapter 4 of Henry VI, Part 2. Featuring the voice talents of Emmeline Tuck as King Henry VI, Justine Leah Hintz as Queen Margaret, W. Keith Timms as Suffolk, Sarah Palmero as Cardinal Winchester, Adam Blandford as York, E. Rachel Ward as Buckingham, Pete Lutz as Gloucester, and Loretta Chang as The Post. Audio adaptation by Morgan Z. Soul, directed by Jeff Robinson, produced by Pendant Productions. This production is copyright 2024 Pendant Productions.
For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.